This week's Parshas Shoftim, deals with many different issues and halachas, but what we'll focus on this morning is a famous pasuk of Lo sasar min hadavar asher yagidu lecha yaminu smol. The pasuk in Perek Yud Zayin, chapter 17, pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11, which is the source, according to the Rambam and many others. There's a whole dispute, Rambam, but the Rambam quotes this pasuk as the source for the power of the Chachamim, for all these rabbinic laws. The Torah says, "Lo sasa min hadavar, don't turn away from what they say. Asher yagidu lecha yamin u'smol, but they tell you right or left." And there's a famous Rashi which quotes from the Sifri, and other places that afilu omar lecha yamin shu smol. Even if they tell you the right is left, thou smol shehu yamin, and left that it's right. You have to listen to them. Even if they tell you, we'll explain what that means in a second. If they tell you left is, I guess they just mean you should turn your face in the wrong direction. That's the simple way. If they tell you right is left, the left is right. And kol shechein, and certainly, when they tell you right is right, val smol smol. And certainly if they tell you right is right, left is left, you listen. But even if they tell you, what does that mean exactly? There's a famous comment from Rav Chanan Wasserman, one of the great rabbis who was, I think, killed by the Nazis in Europe. He from Baranovich, one of the great yeshivas. He says, this is alluding to another famous halacha we're familiar with, that it's not going to happen this year, but it does happen at times. When Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, and for that matter, as the Gemara tells us, we'll see, when Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, i.e. the first day of Sukkot, and as well the Gemara says when Purim falls out on Shabbos, which really can't happen, it can only happen in Jerusalem, the way our calendars are set up now. But when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, did the rabbi say, no shofar? Because it goes back, that's what I was going to get, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, in the beginning of the fourth perek, the Gemara talks about when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, so the Mishnah says, b'miktush hayu tokin, in the Beis HaMikdash. They used to blow shofar even in the Beis HaMikdash. But not outside the temple. What outside the temple means, that depends on what mikdash means. But we'll see, according to the Rambam's opinion, mikdash even includes the old city of Jerusalem. But that's not the practice today, even though there is a discussion on that. But the practice today is, even in Jerusalem, we don't blow shofar, only in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara wants to know, what do you mean, but Medina, why don't we blow shofar in the Beis HaMikdash? If the Torah tells me to blow shofar, how could the rabbis come along and tell me not to blow shofar? Because we're saying, biblically speaking, on Shabbos, according to the way, we'll go into this topic more in another couple of weeks, which isn't that far away, actually. Rosh Hashanah is early this year. But the Gemara tells us that biblically speaking, one has an obligation to hear shofar even on Shabbos. So how could the rabbis come along and tell me no shofar today? That's what the Gemara says here and in many other places. It's called Gzeira D'Rabba. Rabba was the name of one of the rabbis. He made a certain Gzeira, HaKol B'Kiyin. Everyone's obligated in hearing shofar. The Ein HaKol B'Kiyim, and everyone's well-versed in doing it themselves. And the concern is, you're going to go carry the shofar, Yelech Eitzel Bucky. We're all going to run over to the Bruce and ask him how to blow shofar. And we're afraid you're going to come to carry Dalet Amos Bershus HaRabim. In other words, it's a rabbinic concern about violating Shabbos that prevents us from the biblical mitzvah. So there's a biblical mitzvah to hear shofar, and because of the concern for desecrating the Shabbos, the rabbi said no shofar today.
The problem with that is that the law was made before Eruvim, right?
Well, no.
In Eruv, you can carry. So you can even carry a shofar.
Right, but you know, Eruvim, we've had that for a long time also. The question is, which is a good question, is we have a general rule, see, for a different reason. In order to violate carrying biblically, the city has to be big enough. You have to have a certain amount of people in it, 600,000, it has to be a certain width. So, but you're asking us the same point is, how many Rishus Harabims were there? Like, you know, people discuss whether Toronto is, maybe in Brooklyn, Ocean Parkway. It's not in Hamilton, you probably don't, according to, you know, which definition you go with, but you probably don't have a Rishus HaRabim. In fact, let me tell you a little secret. Any town where you have an Eruv in it means it's not a biblical Rishus HaRabim, because if you have a biblical Rishus HaRabim, a biblical public place, what I mean is if you desecrate Shabbos biblically by carrying, you can't have an Eruv. You have to build the wall. Like the old city of Jerusalem, there's a wall. An Eruv only helps you, what we call an Eruv colloquially, an Eruv only helps you if it's only rabbinical to carry in that spot. So the people ask, like, how many biblical places were there anyway? And we have a general rule, on a milsa de lo shchiach, on something which isn't common, the rabbis didn't make decrees. So it's a good question the commentators wrestle with, but the bottom line is, whatever the answer is going to be, the result is here. The Gemara says that we do not blow shofar on Shabbos because it's concern, and that's why we don't shake lulav on the first day of Yontif as well. Megillah is less of an issue, even if we did have it, because Megillah is only Durabanan, so it's okay. The rabbis, hey mamru v'hey mamru, they told us to do it, they could tell us not to do it. But what kind of power, you mean when God tells me one thing and the rabbis tell me another, who do we listen? Of course, depends which rabbis we're talking about. But when God tells you one thing and the rabbis tell you another, how could it be you listen to God? That's this week's parsha, because the Torah tells us, "Losasa min hadavar asher yagidu lecha yaminu smol." That's what Rav Chanan Wasserman says it's alluding to. When they tell you left is right and right is left, and the Torah tells me you have a mitzvah of shofar today. When the Torah tells me I have a mitzvah of shaking lulav today, comes along the rabbis and say, no, that's what it means. You have to follow them right left. Of course, it doesn't mean, some people misinterpret Rashi to think you have to listen to the rabbis even when they're wrong. If the rabbi, and of course, you have to know, I don't mean because you think they're wrong.
And also, if one rabbi says left is left and the other rabbi says left is right, then you have to know which of those two rabbis to listen.
Exactly. So, but in terms of, that's why the context of this verse is in the context of Zakein Mamre. Zakein means elder, Mamre, rebellious one. There's a concept you'll read more about is, if someone rebels against the Sanhedrin, Haggadah, the major Sanhedrin, they gave a Sanhedrin to clarify things. So once, you know, there's a whole process, but once the Beis and Haggadah comes out and paskins one way, and another rabbi comes out against it, he can be liable to the death, depending on the details, he's liable to the death penalty. Let me point out, it's only if it's someone who is a Torah scholar, someone who doesn't know anything and comes out and we just laugh at the guy, we don't put him to death. Obviously, people know. Like, people, when it comes to halacha, you know, people have a hard time getting it, but I'll give another example. Let's say in English literature, Shakespeare, or the like. Yeah, people who spent their PhDs, their lives learning Shakespeare, was he an anti-Semite, wasn't he, or whatever they might be addressing. Okay, and then someone, never read Shakespeare in his life. Okay, he He takes the Aretha for a couple of minutes. He's waiting at a bus stop for 5 minutes. He's bored. He opens up shit. And he says, you know what this? And so he says, you know what? No, that's not what it means. I know exactly now what. So people are going to laugh at him. All opinions are unequal. Like, if you don't know, if you spend 5 minutes of your life reading Shakespeare, you're not entitled to your opinion. That people understand. If people open up a Bible for 5 minutes, they think they do have an opinion of what it means. Of course, you do have an opinion, but it's not that it doesn't hold the same weight as someone who's been studying, you know, that thing for a while. So if you don't know anything, we laugh at you. Yeah, okay, good. But if you're a serious Torah scholar and you go against in that scenario, that's a serious thing. Of course, today, that's part of the obligation. There's no problem. We don't have a base in Haggadah. So in fact, if you're a Torah scholar and you feel a mistake has been made, or you see that you're obligated to speak up. That's what Rav Chaim Volozhin writes, that even against the Shulchan Aruch, if you feel that the way you learn the topic, you come out with a different conclusion, not only can you have an obligation to speak up, assuming you're one of those people who are entitled to an opinion. Like Rav Moshe Feinstein was, he went against the earlier commentators many times. The Briskers go against the Shulchan Aruch a lot of times because they go ahead based on their own. So that's a separate issue in terms of following like the Shulchan Aruch today. And that, you know, for the average person, obviously, who cares what you say? Obviously, the Shulchan Aruch says this. You're not entitled to an opinion. Henry, you want to say something?
Well, no, man, this is a pervasive thought in academia.
Right.
Which is that only people who have earned their right to speak, so to speak, are allowed to speak.
Absolutely.
And yet, unfortunately, as a result of that, sometimes newcomers to a field who actually have an exciting new view because they come with a different, fresh perspective are able to make insights that wouldn't have been possible.
No, so 100%. No, so that's what we recognize. Right, so that's what this is talking about when you have the Sanhedrin HaGedolah, when everything's black, you know, becomes... But exactly what you're saying today, that's how it is today, is because that everyone has... She's a shiv and panim, or the 70. A lot of times, a person comes with a different perspective, and they throw it out there, and therefore you can have,
yes.
You know, we in fact, you know, it's even encouraged to have to see some, you know, there's definitely the different ways when you're sitting in the Beis HaMedrash in the academic world, everything's wide open. Then there's what actually leads to the bottom line halacha that goes through more scrutiny, but in terms of, you know, developing new ideas, that's happening all the time. You know, new svarim come out all the time, different ideas. That's a constant thing. That's the dynamic of Torah Sheba'al Peh. Exactly. The concern is that, you know, if you just go by what it said before, then it becomes more static. That's why we didn't even want it to become, we didn't want it to be put into print even, because once you put it into print, it loses a certain amount of its dynamic. That's what Yisrael Salanter said, that from a certain way, now that the Gemara was codified, it almost has a status, not in a Kedusha sense, but okay, we can't argue on the Gemara, we can just, what does the Gemara mean now? But you lose a certain amount of dynamics, right. So that's always an issue of balancing the creativity, right. and keeping the tradition. But that's what we learn now from Will Susser, it's because God told us, not that we're listening to the rabbis against God. That's what the Torah told us. It's only because the Torah gave the Chachamim the power to paskin different shailos, like no shofar on Shabbos, no lulav on Shabbos, whatever the case may be. Therefore, we have a right to listen to them. And even within that, there are many different limitations. It's not just some hefker where you get up and say whatever you want about anything. Even then, there are very strict rules in terms of what you can, you know, what works and what doesn't work. Like, and in fact, that's what the Rambam writes. The Rambam gives the philosophy behind it. What's the concept of listening to the Chachamim? So he gives an example in Hilchos Mamrim of, let's say, you walk by, you see someone with a knife, like cutting off someone's leg, and you go, what a brutal murderer, this guy is crazy. Then when you get close, you see it's a doctor amputating a leg. He's not actually hurting the person, he's actually saving the life. So that's how the Rambam writes, that's how the Chachamim on certain times, for certain horas, that that you're going to be losing something temporarily. A person is no longer has a leg, but ultimately has a life. We're not going to have shofar this year. We're not going to have lulav. We are going to be losing from a very local point of view, but ultimately the chachamim are looking in the big picture to make sure they keep the tzura, to keep the image of, you know, of the halacha and Judaism going. So sometimes if they, the bigger picture of Chilul Shabbos will take over of a one specific mitzvah. You have a footnote for us?
No, the footnote is that, of course, you did mention already the footnote, and the question is who? The question is who? Not only what, the question is who? And that becomes perhaps more vital than the what. You can have the Godel Hador, who takes precedence over a majority. You can have a majority of tyros, and that becomes the major issue. And that is not a simple thing, because the sociology and psychology plays a very major role. And that, I think, is very important. That is where the whole secular concept impacts upon halacha. To recognize that there are certain aspects that bring certain dimensions that are has to be challenged with. And yet, you have to make sure that these subtleties, so the who, I define as the vital instinct of the Talmud Chacham. If that person sometime is conscious that his own fiefdom is at stake, and therefore he has a right to paskin for his own congregation, so to speak, knowing that area, and that applies, and it doesn't apply as a universal. And there's certain people that have universal impact. So you have to know whether what the constituency is in that determinant. And that is a very complex issue, very complex issue. That complexity of that issue, of course, is built into the system. Let's say the man used to call him Moshe in certain things. He'd say, you're the love, you paskin ashayda. He refused to really paskin ashayda. The love was the same way. He would ask me immediately, did you go through the sugyas? Did you come to your conclusions? Now, what is the conclusions? It's your department. So you see already the sensitivity of this process. And it's very complex. And yet, it has worked. And the working is, Rabbi Akiva Eger, one time, was the posek throughout the world, and certain issues, he had nothing to say on the subject. In fact, people accused him that already he was 80 years old. What is he talking about? You have that built in, and therefore it's recorded and recognized that another precedent can also be determined in certain situations.
Right, because in halach, we don't necessarily have precedent by itself isn't an answer. The fact that something passed in one way doesn't mean anyone's locked into another way. And that's why, as we mentioned many times, it's the principles that are there, and then it's the application that's the key. And in fact, what, you know, who, I would say, who goes susser applies to is a whole separate machokis in terms of whether it's limited to the chachme, it's only limited to the base, the way the Rambam learns, it's different interpretations which based in Haggadah. But Lo Susser only applies to the Beis Din Haggadah. Whether it's in Yavne or Yerushalayim is a discussion. While the Sefer HaChinuch writes, it applies to Kol Chachmei Hador. It applies to all generations in terms of the Chacham. So within the whole realm of Lo Susser, that's a whole separate chair we'll have to go into. But that's the basis of this whole, any discussion on the power of the Chachamim always comes back to this Pasuk here, in Parsha Shoftim, it will sustain a dover as she yagidu chayyaminu small.
All right.